What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today. Media Day happened earlier this week, and we're going to go over some of the interviews from that and some of the things we got from it. Going to break those down, play a couple of them for you. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. As I mentioned, Media Day happened earlier this week on Monday. And pretty standard. I mean, Media Day, once in a while you get an eventful one like 2009. And Marcus Thompson actually has a great article about the 2009 Media Day when immediately Monte said it wasn't going to work with him and Steph, and Steven Jackson demanded a trade right after signing. So that was eventful. This one, not so much. Pretty tame. Same old. But luckily for the Warriors, they have a couple guys who are pretty interesting regardless. And that's Draymond Green and Steph Curry. I'm actually going to play their entire interviews for you and kind of break down some of the things they said. Because the thing is, I don't know, I haven't decided whether I'll play other clips later. It's all pretty much the same. It's, you know, 4 hours of the same questions to different people, and then most of the people give you the same canned answers. So we'll see. But I'm going to throw to a quick break. Go to Steph's interview, and I'll be back after that. It's a pretty long one. It's about 15 minutes or so. So I will be back after Steph's interview and break down a couple of the interesting things he said, and then we'll go to Draymond Green after that. But first, Locked On the NFL is becoming everyone's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Mondays, it's the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. Tuesdays, former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels joins Matt Williamson. Wednesday, it is Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. Thursdays, it's the great Mike Sando of ESPN. And Friday, get Matt's picks. So that's Locked On the NFL. Everyone check that out. Check out all the Locked On properties that we have. We cover NFL, college, NBA, MLB. We started this year also. They're all great. So definitely check those out. But Locked On NFL is one for all you NFL fans out there to definitely peep. So we're going to take the break, come back, and hear from Steph Curry. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Steph, considering all of the stuff you guys went through last year on and off the court, how much of that you think can help you guys grow and develop? Everybody talks about how tough it was last year to get through it all. And do you think, when you look back on it, that those are things that can make you guys stronger and better going into this year?
I feel like, like I say, every year is different. There are different challenges, different obstacles, whatever the case is. And especially to win a championship, you're going to go through some ups and downs, whether it's injuries, lack of energy from time to time, lack of focus, rough parts in the schedule, whatever it is, that's going to happen this year somewhere, you know, at some point. But we had to figure out a way to, you know, rally the troops and keep our eye on being, you know, the best that we can be throughout the year, looking to, you know, peak at the right time, and really have that smooth transition with the new additions that we have. So, I mean, there are a lot of things for us to focus on this year in terms of, like, many goals that will lead to us winning another championship, as well as dealing with the hurdles that will come with just the length of the season.
Right-hand side, front row, Mark.
Hey, Steph, Mark Medina, Barry News Group. With, you know, the ankle and knee stuff you had last year, what did this offseason do for you, both in terms of rejuvenating, and did you have to get any procedures or anything of that sort?
No, it's just more so get with my trainer about the right approach to the summer in terms of how much I was on my feet, strength conditioning work and all that I usually do, trying to ramp that up a little bit more, but with a perspective around not burning myself out over the summer in terms of I had definitely had a knee, had an ankle situation last year that needed time to recover, and I wanted to really try to pace myself over the summer. But this is probably one of the best summers I've had in terms of my prep work going into a year, so I'm excited about what that'll mean on the court.
Front row, left-hand side, Marcus.
Steph, with Durant signing a 1+1, we are all going to be asking about it all year. What's the key for you guys to not let that be a distraction or issue in the locker room, knowing that you'll have three free agents potentially next year?
That it doesn't matter right now. We have 5 preseason games, 82 regular season games, and hopefully 16 wins in the playoffs, and then you can ask all the questions you want. So I think KD is going to have that perspective. DeMarcus had that perspective. Even Draymond and Clay with their contract situations, is you can nitpick everything, and that's what's going to happen. It's part of what we do for a living. But the best teams and the best individuals are able to shut that out when it comes to playing basketball and enjoying the opportunity that we have as a team to do that. So, I feel like we have the right guys with the right mindset to be able to turn that off when they need to.
Front row, right-hand side here, Jamie.
Hi, Steph. The Warriors announced Bruce Frazier as one of the promotions today in terms of to assistant coach. How happy are you for him? And he's meant so much to your skill work and shooting drills.
First, I didn't know the official announcement. Like he's a catalyst to what who we are as a team and our identity. He does way more than just quote unquote coach. He's a people guy and understanding the ins and outs of what makes a cohesive unit with all the different personalities you have and whatnot. And he has such a great awareness and feel and touch to his communication, his timeliness and whatnot that go way beyond just X's and O's or what you see me do on this basket after practice and stuff like that. So you need a guy like you that has great feel. He's really genuine and authentic with everything that he does. And for me to have that daily interaction with him, that kind of keeps my perspective, you know, straight as well, no matter what happens throughout the season. So, it's obviously great to have him, but for that to be recognized in terms of his position is huge.
Front row, left-hand side, Anthony.
Yeah, have you envisioned like running 1-5 type pick and roll stuff with Cousins, and then as the point guard potential, you know, on that unit that will have 5 All Stars, have you envisioned the good of that, but also maybe the challenges of trying to make sure everyone gets their touches?
Yeah, there's a lot to think about in terms of opportunity. What I probably should do is like spend like 50 hours logging on 2K. And just simulate it all, see what happens, see what works and doesn't work, see what I can use on the court. But got 3 kids, so that ain't happening. But we'll see how it happens when he comes back. We're obviously gonna have a lot of minutes logged in terms of Damian playing center and JB kind of filling in the forward and center spots and rotating those guys through. And then when DeMarcus comes back, we'll obviously have a game plan of how we want to attack those situations, how the rotation will happen and whatnot, and our IQ in terms of being in the right spot and being purposeful about what we do, I think will take over as the season goes on.
Right-hand side, third row back.
Steph, I'm Annika. I'm from Swedish radio. There's so many stars in this league, but there's only one Swede, and now he's on this team, and the Golden State Warriors are already incredibly popular in Sweden. What do you think about Jonas Jerebko now that he's joining your team, and what do you think his role will be on the team?
I mean, he's going to be huge for us, just filling holes and pieces. I think he's a really versatile player. He's tough. He can shoot. He can play defense. All things that we need from that wing position. So the one thing I've noticed just about him, he seems like a very confident guy in terms of when he gets that opportunity, he'll take it and run with it. And I think he's very motivated after the last couple of years just kind of playing spot minutes or whatnot, having an official role in a team that has a chance to win a championship. I think that hopefully unlock something from him that we will love to see.
Middle section, second row back, Mark.
Steph, does it seem like you guys have managed what to do now that you have experience in it, your off-season time better? Because you guys don't seem as fatigued everybody seems a little bit more spry than perhaps the last 2 years. And also, does it also help that, and also your thoughts on it, LeBron being in L.A., that a lot of attention is, has gone south?
Nah, that second part doesn't matter in terms of, we know we're going to be our biggest, I call it enemy, I guess, in terms of how we approach the season. Like last year, between September and December, it kind of sucked, to be honest, in terms of like the vibe. Like we were all trying to figure it out, play, you know, at a higher level than we were, but it never really clicked the way we wanted to. I don't think anybody wants to go through that feeling again, because it was tough in terms of just, we knew what we were supposed to be doing. I think everybody's intentions were right, but just the way that the summer and preseason last year went, it just didn't click until later. This year, we want to really enjoy what we do, and it starts with tomorrow in practice, setting the right tone, having the right, you know, like you say, excitement and energy and juice. I understand, and it's a marathon. There's a lot of time between now and April and May and June, but if we go about it the right way to start the season, it can feed on itself in terms of the expectation we have night in, night out, unlocking some of the young guys in terms of them being in the rotation, things like that, and then doing what we do.
Middle section, third row back.
Steph, Jason Dumas, Cron for Sports. Obviously, you're a very accomplished player throughout your career. But you've been through a lot. You know, you've been through injuries. You've won championships. You've won MVPs. You've lost championships. So I'm sure your perspective to the game has just changed over that period of time. What's your mindset at now, and how has your approach changed, and where's your perspective heading into this season, given all you've been through in your career?
It's really cliche, but just staying in the moment and understanding what's at stake this coming year, there's a lot to gain, and there's a lot more to accomplish. I'm obviously very appreciative and happy and proud of, you know, the images you see on the practice facility around here and the memories that we've had, but we're right in the thick of another run, and you don't really have time to kind of sit back and rest and relax and say, look what we've done. I don't think any of us got to this point by doing that, and that shouldn't change now. So these pictures in here are just motivation to go after more, because it does feel that good to be, you know, the champs, and to have with all that comes with it, and do it with guys that you like, you know, playing basketball with and like playing for, from a coaching staff perspective too. So nothing lasts forever in this league, but we've always said we want to keep this going as long as we can, and we're right in the thick of it.
Middle section in the back, Ron.
So you guys all seem to have invested at some point, a lot of you a lot more heavily than others. How much do you guys talk about that amongst yourselves, the companies that you're investing in, and how much of that is, you know, the opportunity you have here in the Bay Area with the number of startups and the number of venture capitalists? What kind of opportunities do you have here that you wouldn't have in another NBA city?
I think we've all done a great job of just doing it our own individual, unique ways. We definitely talk about it. It's a topic of conversation on the daily of what opportunities guys are aware of, what they've invested in, how they can get other guys involved, more on the, like, just overall education of what's out there. If you look at pretty much everybody, myself, Andre, Draymond, KD, DeMarcus, guys have so much going on off the court that it's only amplified by you know, what other guys are doing in the league and kind of creating that momentum and that wave from year to year. I think being in Silicon Valley definitely helps. You get to meet a lot of different people and network, and you kind of are right in the thick of things. But guys in the NBA in a whole, no matter what city they're in, are finding ways to get to expand in that area as the years go on. I think that's pretty special to watch and be a part of that growth.
Left-hand side, third row in the back, Felicia.
Steph, you said that this was your best off-season prep-wise, but it was also your best off-season personally. You got your third ring and you had your third kid. How is Cannon different, having a boy? How is that different? How is he different than your other two?
Well, every parent knows, I guess, that every kid is a little bit different, have something unique about them. And for us, it's definitely special to welcome him to the family. And
He's only 3 months old now, so still a lot of time to go. So definitely happy. He hasn't gone to an NBA game yet, so we'll check that off the box very soon.
Middle section in the back.
Do you see that street beat as a historic achievement, or do you feel that you already made the history as a team?
I think we have made history, but in terms of what's in front of us, again, you got to be able to turn the page and look ahead, and that's the opportunity that's in front of us. It gets even more, I guess, elite in terms of how few teams have accomplished the three-peat. I think only one other team has gone to the finals 5 times in a row, if I'm correct. I think the Celtics. So, like, all those things we should talk about because it's kind of rare air, but it doesn't change our process in terms of how we go through training camp and the season and building towards that. So I don't think anybody should shy away of talking about that, you know, having that conversation about what this means historically, but it should be only motivation too.
Last two for Steph over here, right-hand side. Janie?
Steph, with this being the last season at Oracle, what do you sort of take from the home court advantage you guys have developed here and the special fans and also looking forward to a new arena too? I mean, it's a big deal. I'm moving to San Francisco. Can you kind of talk about both of those things?
Yeah, this last year is going to be special. This is, you know, how many years we've played at Oracle, the journey, you know, from some pretty down years to some really entertaining basketball, but didn't win much to now having won 3 out of the last 4. All that happened in Oracle Arena. So our fan base has been tremendously supportive. They've given us a feared place to play in from an opponent standpoint in terms of the noise and the energy and the atmosphere. And that's something we really relied on. And honestly, for me, it's my 10th year in the league. That's been my only experience. And it's something that I'll remember for a very long time. And I think this year is about obviously representing that to the highest, honoring that, celebrating it, trying to go out in style with one more championship, and then obviously turning the page. But right now, this year is going to be really, really memorable, and I think we have an extreme opportunity to create a dope story around the last year in Oakland.
Final one for Steph right here in front with Logan.
Okay, Steph, obviously, DeMarcus isn't going to be out. I mean, he's going to be out for the onset of the season. You're going to have a three-way competition for the center position. How does that change how you, I guess, approach the center position, you know, being that you haven't had a young guy there for an extended stretch?
I think it could be an amazing opportunity in terms of something new, something fresh, and a chance for one of those young guys to really surprise people in terms of the work that they put in. I mean, Looney, JB, Damian, Jones, I mean, they all have an extreme opportunity to take their impact to a whole nother level. Obviously, with Zaza and JaVale gone and D West, there's ample opportunity. And with the core that we've had, that we've established, inserting those guys into the fold more consistently, especially early in the season, that could take us to another level and take, you know, those three guys to another level as players. And then when DeMarcus comes back, only I think as their confidence is going to be high. So no matter, you know, how that changes, you know, with him back in the lineup, it only help us make us stronger as a cohesive unit going into the playoffs. And that's the plan. So really focus on just making those guys feel comfortable, simplifying things so they understand, you know, how they're going to be most you know, effective and efficient for us, and then buying in and just doing it.
And following up on DeMarcus, how is it going to be, you know, so late in the season having a guy of his caliber to try to bring him into your nucleus when you guys already have a rhythm at that point?
I mean, I have no idea because we've never had to do something like this before, but that makes it interesting. It creates an opportunity for us to continue to evolve as a team. And throughout the 82 games, it's kind of like you can chop it up into almost like quarters around how the season is going to go and what many goals we could set for ourselves to stay focused, to stay on task and on target. And when DeMarcus comes back, that's going to be opportunity, but also, like you said, a challenge in terms of figuring it out on the fly. Good news is he is extremely skilled, extremely smart. He's going to be bought in to what we're trying to do, that I feel like it'll be, no matter how long it takes, it'll be better for us.
Let's do one last one for Connor here. Sorry about that.
I'm going to remember that, Raymond.
Yeah, I already owe you one. First day.
Steph, what's it like having your brother-in-law, Damian Lee, around? And just, I'm sure you guys have already had a bit of a relationship. So what's that dynamic like for you?
It's fun. I mean, it's part of the family, obviously. We spent a lot of time the last 2 years, especially working out. He's been out here in the Bay with Santa Cruz and whatnot. And I've been rooting him on when he was in Atlanta last year, you know, playing. So to have him, obviously, in training camp, as a two-way player back and forth, the opportunity he has to impact our team is be fun, and obviously I get to keep close eyes on him.
All right, four more, and no, thanks, Steph. Appreciate that. There it is, Steph Curry. By the way, all that audio is brought to you by NBC Sports Bay Area. They do a great job covering all things Warriors, especially Media Day. So that is where all sound is coming from today, NBC Sports Bay Area. Appreciate them for that. So that's Steph Curry on Media Day. The thing with Steph is he's such a nice guy, solid interview, that he'll just keep talking, keep going. He'll indulge in your questions, which is great, but it makes for a long interview and makes Ray Ritter continue to take questions because he knows Steph will be fine with it. A couple of interesting things he said when it comes to Bruce Frazier becoming an assistant coach. Now, Steph is all for it. He didn't realize that it was official. But, you know, mentioning that he's a great people person, because I've always wondered, and Bruce Frazier, you guys might know him as Q. That's what he's referred to mostly. But I've always wondered, because he is really beloved by all the players and coaches. He's just a very beloved figure with the Warriors. So I've always kind of wondered what it is that makes him so beloved with this organization, the team, all that. And Steph says he's a great people person, great communicator, a great person to just talk about life with. And you need that, because Steve Kerr, as great as he is with people, he's another great communicator, great people person, but he also has to run the team. He has to be the head coach. He has a lot of things to manage. And it's like this with most sports, especially professionally, is, you know, assistant coaches and position coaches are the ones that are, what's the word I'm looking for, are, you know, sought out more for, they're the bridge between the head coach and the players, and they're the sounding board, I guess. I don't really know how to explain it. They're the guys that are there every single day. You have their ear every single day, where Steve, you might not, because he's got, you know, he's got the entire team to manage. So shout out Q, Bruce Frazier, for the promotion and for what he brings to the team. I just thought that was interesting for me personally, because it's always been mentioned how beloved he is, and you can tell the way that players interact with him. But I just always wonder what was it that he brought that made him that. And Steph kind of broke that down a little bit for us. Another interesting thing Steph said was that he said September through December last season was tough. It was painful for the entire team just to get in the groove and play the basketball that they know that they can play. And he says he thinks they're past that and not going to have that same problem this year. But it was just interesting. It was interesting to hear. And I'm surprised no national media has picked up on it and talked about the problems the Warriors are having, because that's going to be a theme this year, is how, you know. And you heard it with Steph's questioning about all the free agents, and that's going to be shut down pretty quick, I think. I think they're going to get tired. I think Steve Kerr is already tired of it. I believe it was yesterday, Tuesday, he was asked about it again, and he was like, you know, I think this is the last time I'm going to talk about 2019 free agency, you guys. It's 9 months away. We got a lot of things to accomplish before that. So, you know, you guys can worry about that every day, but I'm not. But that's going to be a theme this year, and it's going to be annoying. Oh, well. That's what happens when you
are a dynasty and have guys like Kevin Durant who sign one and one. So as annoying as it is, if that's the price we pay, and I'll continue to say it, if that's the price we have to pay for it, oh well, we'll deal with it. Another interesting thing that was brought up by Steph, or well, he was asked about it and he talked about it, was just him, his kind of financial mentoring of some of the players and business mentoring. And he mentioned it wasn't so much as, you know, him taking players under his wing or anything like that, but just everyone kind of looking out for everyone. You know, Draymond's got his interests, business interests outside of basketball. KD, obviously. Steph, obviously. DeMarcus Cousins, obviously. Clay, maybe. But yeah, just that it's more just a David West, you know, he threw him in there. Zaza, it's more of just a discussion than a mentoring. And that's cool to hear, you know, because I don't know. I'm a sucker and a sap, and I always hate hearing the stories of, you know, players that go bankrupt or anything like that or don't take care of their money. So it's always cool to hear, especially Andre's mentioned it a lot before, just the way older players, the vets look out for the younger players and just other players in general. So I enjoyed hearing that personally. I don't know if you guys did. So that was Steph's interview. I know there's a lot more to it, but man, they made him talk for like 20 minutes. I can't get to all of it. The next one I'm going to throw to is Draymond Green. Draymond will make anything interesting. So as boring as Media Day is, Draymond had some good bits, good pieces that he threw in there. So I'm going to get to that in just 1 second. But before I do, Locked On NBA never went away and is still here for your every day. Locked On NBA is your daily NBA podcast. Every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories and then stay with Locked On NBA all week with all 30 minutes on everything going on in the NBA. Follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. Check out Locked On NBA, guys. It's all good, all deadly. Like I said, all the Locked On properties are awesome. But, you know, more importantly, check out Locked On Warriors. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, your host, about to throw to Draymond Green's interview. Like I said, Draymond makes anything and everything interesting. Very honest, brutally honest, and I love it, especially in my position. So I'm going to throw to that, break a couple of those things down after. So enjoy.
Hey, both Steve and Bob have talked, and they've said it before, how they want you guys to enjoy the season. Never understand. You've got house money. You've won three championships. Who knows how long this might last. Is that in your mind right now? Do you think of it that way, or maybe do you have a different approach?
I mean, I definitely don't approach it like we're playing with house money. You know, we do have three championships. They're all in the past. It's about approaching each year with that same goal and that same mentality. And the moment you get to the point where you're like, oh, man, we're just playing with house money. We already got it. You're done. And none of us are ready for this run to come to an end. So we got to continue to approach it like we got zero. And that's cliche and impossible to do. But you want to try to get as close to that as you possibly can. And that's my mindset always entering the season.
Front row, right-hand side, Mark.
Hey, Draymond, what's your philosophy overall with the idea of extension talks? What sort of things are you weighing as far as how open you would be to that versus just waiting?
This is a business, so you always have to explore those options, and see what makes sense, what doesn't. I'm confident that I'll be here for a very long time, so it's not something I'm going into the season thinking about. Like, all that stuff will be taken care of when it's best for me, when it's best for the team. You know, I think, you know, I'm not looking at this one side like, oh man, I got to do what's right for Draymond. Like, you know, it's a partnership and it's a family, and doing the right thing for everyone involved is important. And so, you know, we just got to approach this the right way. And when the time is right, you know, all that stuff will be taken care of. But I'm not going into this season thinking about it.
Center section, third row.
Draymond, Jason Dumas, Kron Four. I know during the offseason when you're going through your workouts and stuff, you're typically just worried about yourself as you try to get better. But as the season approaches, have you gotten a chance to kind of take a look at the landscape of the rest of the Western Conference and see what other teams have done? And if so, who do you think has kind of gotten better this offseason?
I mean, I'm a fan of basketball, you know, so I'm always, you know, just interested in what's going on, watching all the moves. You know, I think some teams have improved. Obviously, the Lakers hasn't, you know, look like they're going to improve, you know, and several other teams. At the end of the day, I don't, you know, I think a lot of people count the Spurs out. Like, you know, they're going to be good. So they're always good. So it's going to be teams that are really good, but, you know, I approach it the same way. You know, if we play our best game, our best brand of basketball we can play, we'll win. And so that's my focus, on us being the best us, knowing that if we are, it really don't matter what anyone else does.
Front row, right-hand side, Janie.
Hi, Draymond.
Hey.
I know you've said in the past that DeMarcus is the best big man in the league, and you have a lot of respect for him. How much do you look forward to once he's healthy, working him in? And also, Jordan Bell wants you and DeMarcus to scrap a little bit on the court and get into it, and he wants to commentate. So what's your take on that potential lineup?
I mean, definitely looking forward to DeMarcus getting healthy. You know, obviously DeMarcus is one of the most talented players in our league. You know, most people see, oh, man, DeMarcus with the Warriors, they won. And it ain't that easy. Like, that's 26 points a game you're working into the lineup. Like, it's tough. But that's the fun part. The fun part is making it work. I think back to when KD came here. Everybody, oh, man, they got Kevin Durant and they won 73 games. It's over. And honestly, the fun part wasn't winning the championship. The fun part was during the year figuring that out on how we was going to make that work. And I'm looking forward to the same thing with DeMarcus. You know, as far as me and DeMarcus scrapping it out, what did he say, scrapping it out? Why Jordan want me to fight? Why he won't fight? He a young guy. He should be the one wanting to fight. I'm getting old. So he can have that.
All right, front row center, Logan.
Hey, you kind of spoke on DeMarcus, but he's probably going to be out for the onset of the season, which means there's going to be like a three-way battle for the center position. How does that affect you, maybe? How does that affect you with the team and just running the offense and defense, knowing you'll have a younger guy there than in previous years at center?
I mean, it's, you know, I think with having a younger guy there, obviously, you know, comes with more athleticism, more speed. That's just kind of the nature of the game that we play. So it may speed the game up for us a little bit. But, you know, not having a Zaza or D. West or Bogut, D. Lee, it's different. You know, that'll be a different feel for us. Nonetheless, you know, what those guys that came before these young guys has taught myself and these guys is important. And you take those things that they taught you and the things that, you know, all three of those guys I mentioned has given to this organization, and you try to add them, incorporate them into your game. Like I said, I think it'll be a different look, but nonetheless, all three of those, well, two. And you know, I still think last year when we played Houston, Damian won us a game. So all three of those, or OKC, I think it was. All three of those guys has played significant minutes for us, and you know, especially Damian and Jordan. I mean, Kevon and Jordan. You know, they've played some significant minutes in the finals, conference finals, and, you know, they'll have an opportunity to get some big minutes, and, you know, I look forward to them competing for them.
Far left-hand side, standing up against the curtain, Mindy.
Hi, Draymond. Mindy Bach at ABC7. I just read your Instagram post. You said you didn't want to talk about last year till you were ready because it was the hardest season you'd ever been through. It was so hard. You're ready to put it behind you. But how do you build on that? What do you take from that season into this year where the expectations, you could say, might even be even higher for this team?
Honestly, I don't even feel expectations anymore. Because our expectations for ourselves are so high that I don't really feel expectations from anyone else other than who's in this every day. You know, our coaching staff, our players, our front office, everybody who works in this organization who's a part of that grind every day, I don't feel expectations from anyone else. So that's kind of, that part of it is irrelevant to me. How do we build on that? I mean, you take the experiences that we went through and you learn from them. You know, the good and the bad. You try to take the good with you, but you don't leave the bad behind. You learn from those so you don't go through those again. And I think that's how we'll build on it. That'll be our focus. And as far as me not commenting on the finals, it was the toughest thing I've ever been through in my life. Just last season, like I said, that Houston series was so tough. Even the finals, you know, everybody like, oh, man, y'all won easy because y'all swept. Like, that wasn't easy. Like, it's not easy to sweep a team that makes it to the NBA Finals. By far, one of the toughest things I've ever done in my life was winning that championship last year. And afterwards, I didn't want nothing to do with it. I didn't want to think about basketball. I didn't want to think about the run. None of that. I didn't even want to see the trophy. You know, guys, we get an opportunity to, like, take the trophy back home or wherever you want to go. I wanted no parts of it. It was so tough that I really needed to decompress from that and just get away from it for a while. It wasn't something that I really wanted to think about. Now, you know, we move forward and, you know, appreciate what we did last year, but it's time to try to do that all over again.
Left-hand side, second row, Phil.
Draymond, kind of related to that last question, but at this point in your career and in the evolution of this team, is it enough to just say, hey, we're all professionals, we'll approach this as we always have, we'll do our best to win? Or do you need to find new ways, creative ways of motivation?
I think every season comes with different challenges. And I think, you know, we've won a championship 3 times in 4 years now. To sit here and say, oh, man, we're going to have that same excitement and enthusiasm that we had in year one, it's a lie. Like, you know, it's just not possible. And so I think you kind of get to the point where you find games within a game. And, you know, like making DeMarcus fit and figuring that out, figuring out the first however many months of the season of having three guys who's what, under 3 years of experience total? I mean, not total, but under 3 years of experience competing for the center spot. How do you make that work? We lost veteran guys, so how are you figuring that out? It's about games within the game at this point. And when you're trying to figure those things out, you get better. And every day you're not looking saying, oh, man, how do we get back to the finals or how are we going to win a championship? Because you're trying to figure other things out. Then when you get to that point, you're ready for it. And so I think that's the most important thing for us. And, you know, I think those challenges will be stiff enough for us to focus on them and get those things done. And then, the playoffs and all that stuff will come when it does.
Three more for Draymond, starting with Tim, second row, left-hand side.
Hey, Draymond. You talked about how tough last year's championship was in your last answer. Everybody here has talked about that. Steve and Bob mentioned earlier how they don't want to have that kind of be the message to harp on how hard it was, like you guys did a lot last year. Is it freeing in a way that coming into this season, with there being so much uncertainty in the future about the organization with guys' contracts and stuff, that you guys can maybe just say, like, hey, let's just go out and enjoy this year together, and then we'll figure out what's going to happen after that?
I think that's what it will be. You know, we're not going to go this whole season talking about how much uncertainty it is as far as contracts. We got the team that we got right now, and you got to win with that team. When all that stuff comes up, it'll get handled. But right now, we're all together, and that's the most important thing, is trying to be the best that this team can be. Everything else will take care of itself.
Two more. Front row, right-hand side here. Carl?
You talked about getting old. You're starting a season with Andre Iguodala for, like, I think the sixth or seventh year. I mean, a lot of people judge his career and have a difficult time doing it because they don't obviously see a lot of his game in the numbers. What kind of case could you make for him for the Hall of Fame?
I mean, he's been doing this for years. He's had times in his career where he put up the numbers. He had a time in his career, you know, where the numbers weren't there, but you know his impact was there. NBA Finals MVP, 3 championships, Olympic gold medalist. Like, you know, the resume is there for sure. All-star. Like, the resume is there, and I think, you know, he's done enough to solidify that. But I also don't think he approaches every day saying, how do I get into the Hall of Fame? He's just not that type of person. But what he's done for this organization and this team, and what he's done for every organization that he's played in, he's made them a better organization by way of him being there, whether it's Philly, Denver, or here. He's made a better organizations and better teams. So, you know, I think his case is solid, and, you know, he'll continue to build on that resume.
All right, two last questions, front row, left-hand side.
Yeah, if you win Defensive Player of the Year this year or get All NBA, it bumps up the earning potential on your next contract. Is that something that you can or will use as a motivating factor in a regular season that I know can sometimes be mundane?
No. Because I've never been one to do anything for money. You know, I've never played basketball for money. I play basketball because I love basketball, and those are the things that's made me successful. I'm not going to get to age 28, like you're 23 of playing basketball and switch that up now, because that hasn't been what's successful for me. What's been successful for me is my love for the game, my passion, and just having that drive to want to win. And when you do those things, when you plan for the right reason, everything else seems to take care of itself. When you plan for the wrong reasons, things usually don't go your way. And so I'll continue to approach the game the way I've approached it every year. That's trying to be the best me I can be, contribute to the best team I could possibly contribute to, and make the team as good as I possibly can and win as many games as I can. Other than that, it's pretty irrelevant.
Last question, front row, far left, Tim.
Draymond, you answered a little bit this with Tim's question about the future, but with Durant signing another one-year deal, is it a little bit up in the air in your mind whether this group is going to continue past that year? Is Kevin a little bit, who knows what he's going to do after this season?
No, I mean, I don't think about it like that. Also, you know, I study the business side of the league. You know, I don't just go play and say, oh man, my agent will figure it out or anything like that. Like, I study the business side, so I could be reading it wrong, and if I am, I am. But me knowing the business side of things, I understand what he did, and you know, we'll see where it all ends up. But like I said, we're not going to enter the season saying K signed a 1-year deal. What's next? What's next is this year. How are we going to approach this year? How are we going to get through this year? How good will we be? Will we three-peat? That's what's next. Everything else after this year, if we're going to focus on that, we may as well save our body, save our time, save the stress of going through an NBA season. If that's what we're going to focus on, it's not the focus. Our focus is trying to win a championship this year. And what comes after this year, whether we want to focus on it or not, it's not coming until the year is over. So we need to embrace this year and try to win a championship. And I know that's everyone's goal coming through this door.
There it is. The always interesting Draymond Green had a ton to say. It's funny, when I was putting this together, I was breaking down questions and like, oh yeah, I'll get the sound for this one, that one. And it was pretty much the entire interview. So I just said, forget it. Let's throw the entire interview in. Same thing with Steph. But so Draymond, of course, interesting. Broke down a lot of different situations when it came down to their approach and playing with house money. He, of course, said the right thing. The players don't look at it that way. House money, because they've already won championships. There's no such thing as that. They stay motivated for winning. And as tough as it is, he didn't, you know, make the case that it's an easy thing to do, an easy thing to stay motivated, but no one looks at it. No one takes their foot off the pedal because they've already won. When it came to extension talks, he said he was confident he'd be a Warrior for a long time. That's pretty strong. You know, we'll see what happens, what ends up happening with him and his contract and all that. But I have a hard time seeing Klay or Draymond not being a Warrior unless it's part of a bigger move. There's no way they'll just let them walk. So I agree with him on that. When it came down to moves around the NBA, I love that he mentioned the Spurs, because I'm with him on the Spurs. I think they're still going to be good. They're always good. They won, 47 games last year without Kawhi? So technically you're replacing Kawhi with DeMar DeRozan, or replace, you're just adding DeMar DeRozan and then replacing Danny Green with Jakob Poeltl. So I agree with him. I think the Spurs are going to be good, and, you know, he wouldn't give LeBron too much. I thought that was a weird question that I think Spears asked everyone it about, you know, the focus being on LeBron, but whatever. It's something that media cares about. I don't know how much players care about it, but oh well. DeMarcus Cousins, when it came down to DeMarcus and trying to get him into the rotation and comfortable and stuff, he said it would be difficult, but that's part of the fun of basketball and of adding new players, and why I think it'll also help keep them engaged when they didn't seem engaged at times last year. DeMarcus Cousins is a new piece, a new toy for them to figure out, just like when they added Durant and a bunch of other new players. Getting DeMarcus is something that I do think will help keep them focused and keep them focused in trying to get them in the rotation and into their game plans and things like that. Talked about the young centers. Obviously, that's important what they bring. You know, just the speed that they haven't had, and it's going to be tough to replace a lot of the other guys like Zaza and D-West and JaVale, and even mentioned Bogut and D-Lee, which I thought was great. But it's time for the young guys, and I'm excited to see it myself. Expectations, they have the highest expectations of themselves, motivation, championships. You know, that's what he said. It's about winning rings. The uncertainty of Kevin Durant's contract and Clay and this and that, and he kind of shut it down. I'm with him. I mean, it's not going to be figured out until July, so why are we even talking about it? But like I said earlier, when Steph was asked the question, they're going to continue to be asked, and I think they're going to continue to get annoyed about it. I thought the Iguodala Hall of Fame was interesting. He was a little on the fence about it. I don't know. I'm on the fence about it also, but I think if you weigh the championships and what he brought to a team that won three championships and how important he was to that team, I think so. I think he deserves it, but if you just weigh the player individually, maybe not. I don't know. It's a tough one. And then again, the KD contract, he just wasn't having it. But what he did say, which I thought was interesting, was he is looking at it from a business aspect, from the point that Kevin Durant gets the most money when he signs his 10-year max, which is next year. So he was looking at it from the business aspect of, it's not about him wanting to leave or anything. And maybe it is, who knows, or having the option of wanting to leave, anything like that. But it was about the fact that financially, fiscally, he'll make more money next year when he can sign a max deal. And whether he does or not, who knows? But that's the way Draymond was looking at it, which I thought was interesting and something that gets overlooked when we do talk about Kevin Durant and his contract. It's always mentioned, oh, yeah, you know, he's doing it so he can leave, or he's doing it so he can get the most money next year. Who knows? We'll have to wait till July to see. And hopefully it's not a topic of conversation the entire season, but I think we all know that it will be, and it's going to be really annoying. So that is Locked On Warriors for today. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm going to try and pump some more of these out throughout the week. It's been crazy first part of the week for me, so I know this is a couple days after media day, but I thought the interviews were good enough to get to you regardless. Shout out to NBC Sports Bay Area. They do a great job with this. Shout out to them for the interviews. That's NBC Sports Bay Area. Thank you very much. Much appreciated. I know the listeners appreciate it too. They do great work over there. This has been Locked On Warriors. Come back later this week. I'll definitely have more for you on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.